desire and interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. I've written on the board, God's waiting room. How many of you all like to wait? There are some waiting rooms that they play soft music. And I think it's because they're trying to keep everybody calm because the wait tends to be a little bit long. We were, the other day, Vanessa and I were right down the road. They were going to look at her arm to see if it was healing back and kind of what the status on her arm was. And we waited for quite a while. And I told her, I said, I guess they think that we don't have anything else to do. And I know there is a orthodontist, a dentist in Mount Vernon that we have used for two of our children that Renee has spent half of the morning there, 3 or 4 hours waiting. And it was worth the wait because it was half the cost. But the waiting was long. And I could probably give them a few suggestions on how to do some rescheduling. Because when you're waiting every single time, 3 or 4 hours, it means there could probably be some fine-tuning to scheduling issues. But it was worth the wait. It was worth the wait because instead of paying, what, $6,000-$7,000 for braces, it was less than half the price. And so, at that place, it was worth waiting. Do you know this morning that there are times in life that we are in God's waiting room? And I want to just remind us this morning, and I don't know what everybody is facing, and if you don't need this message, if you're not in a waiting room right now, just wait a little bit longer. But it is worth the wait to wait on the Lord. It is worth the wait. None of us, I don't think any of us like to just wait in line at the stores and at the stoplights and maybe waiting on your children or waiting on your husband and wife or waiting for retirement, waiting to be healed when you're sick, waiting for the temptations to stop, waiting for people to change their attitudes, waiting for the storm to pass, waiting for the fire to cease, and ultimately waiting for Jesus to come. Sometimes the waiting gets long. And sometimes in the time of waiting, we begin to get anxious and we begin to question, is it worth the wait? What can I do? One of the reasons it's difficult for us to wait on the Lord and to wait in His waiting room is because most of us are doers. We like to do, and if we're sitting here doing nothing, then I could be spending better my time in better ways than sitting down and waiting on someone else. So if you know there's going to be a wait, you take work with you. If you know you're going to be at the dentist's office for 3 or 4 hours in the waiting room, it's not a good idea to sit there and just do nothing. Because have you ever been waiting on someone and you weren't doing anything in the meantime and you start feeling yourself, things getting a little worked up more and more when someone was supposed to be there and they didn't show up on time and you could just feel your blood pressure rising just a little bit? And do you know if you would be doing something while you were waiting, it would make the time go better? When we are waiting on God, God does not want us to be doing nothing. God wants us to be busy doing His work. He wants us to be busy. He told on the parable about the talents. He said, occupy till I come. In other words, you're going to be waiting for me to come. Folks, we're waiting on the Lord to come back. I am waiting. I am longing this morning for the summons to come. But while I am waiting and while you are waiting, the Lord wants us to occupy. The Lord wants us to build. The Lord wants us to plant. The Lord wants us to live. Well, there are other things that are more difficult. With all of the things of waiting, the Scripture still says over and over, wait on the Lord. Psalm 62, verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God. for my expectation is from Him. Wait on the Lord. You say, what are you waiting on? People say, I don't know, I'm just waiting. Do you know sometimes if we're not careful, we can do that too? I'm just waiting. The Scripture says, wait on the Lord. Sometimes we wait on somebody else. I'm waiting for someone to give me the answers that I need. You know you're going to be disappointed. Sometimes. But wait on the Lord. The Lord is the one that created us. He's the one that knows everything that touches our life. And He's saying, wait on the Lord. And then David went on in his prayer, so to speak. He said, for my expectation is from Him. In other words, I'm sitting in the waiting room and I'm not expecting the receptionist to come and start working on my teeth. I'm waiting on the dentist who I think he knows what he's doing. I've questioned that a couple times, or I didn't question him, but I wondered. But there were things that we were waiting on someone that was supposed to have the knowledge. We were waiting on the one that had the ability. Folks, this morning, I don't question God's ability this morning. And we know He can do all things, but sometimes He doesn't do all things. He can do all things, but sometimes He doesn't. So what should we do when He's not doing all things? Wait. And I'm not going to take things into my own hands. Well, have you ever got to a place you're waiting on someone to do something and they didn't do it, and finally it was like, fine, I'll do it myself. Has anybody besides me ever done that? It's like, I'll just do it myself because I would rather it get done. But if someone else can do it better, how much it would be better to wait? There are things that God wants to do in our life this morning. There are things that God wants to do, but He wants us to wait because there is value in waiting this morning. While we are waiting, the Lord is not saying do nothing, but He's saying keep doing what you know to do while you're waiting on me to do what I want to do in your life. There's many of you have heard this story. I've told it here before, but the story of the young men they wanted to marry the king's daughter. And so they were summoned to the palace, and the king told them, he said, line up and there's going to be a race. And they were with the understanding that whoever won this race would get the king's daughter and be able to marry her. And so the king individually went to each person. He didn't tell them collectively. He went to each of these young men and he said, now, I don't want you to run when the signal's given to run. He said, I want you to wait until I look at you and give you the nod. So they believe there were three young men, and they got there and they were ready to go because they wanted to marry the king's daughter. There are a lot of fringe benefits to that one too. And so they were there and the signal was given, go. And one man just took off running. He was going to give it all he had because he wanted to win that race to get the daughter. And one of the other men, he looked over at the king, and the king was just sitting there not giving him a nod. And he saw the man in front of him start to get further and further down that track or road, whatever the case might be. And finally, he couldn't stand it anymore, and he took off running. And the third man just stood there, and he just kept watching the king. And the king said, you get the hand of my daughter. He said, I knew you could run, but I didn't know if you could wait. All of us have things in life that we can start taking into our own hands. And when we're waiting, many times we'll say, well, God's not doing anything, so I guess I need to do something. Folks, God's time is not our timing. And I know, I will confess, I've put God on a clock before. And I found that God doesn't honor my clock real well. It's like, Lord, I've got a deadline. I'm not trying to twist your arm or anything. But God, I have to have a decision by Monday at 12 o'clock. There's a deadline. And for some reason, it seems like God just, when you're kind of saying, come on, God, hurry up. It seems like He slows down. It's like, I've got it under control. And you know, God has not failed me yet. Can't you testify to that? But we start getting anxious so many times. We are in God's waiting room, and there are lessons the Lord has for us to learn. Do you know waiting requires trust in God? It requires trust. Because when you think God's not doing something, when you're waiting, what you're saying is, Lord, I am trusting you enough to work that I'm going to actively wait. Does that make sense? Actively wait? I'm going to actively look to you with expectation. I'm not going to take it into my own hands, but I'm going to wait on you. And it means that we aren't getting what we want right now. You know, because if we got everything we wanted the first time we prayed, would we really have much trust in God? Our trust in God, folks, is not built upon God answering our prayers every time we pray when we pray it. Our trust is built in God when He doesn't give us what we want right now. That's when trust is built. And then, when we hear the Lord call our name, and we've been waiting, we go in and God accomplishes His purpose, and we go out saying, the Lord did something. He fixed it. He worked. He moved. He provided. He healed. He changed. He encouraged. He edified. Trust is built during the time of waiting. And sometimes it proves to God whether we're going to trust Him or not. Are we willing to wait on the Lord this morning? Are we willing to wait? The scripture over in Psalms 46 verse 10 says, be still and what? And know that I am God. If you are feeling anxious this morning over anything in your life, I want to encourage you to be still and know that God is God. We have to be still to do that because so often we don't want to wait. We don't want to sit still. We want things done. We want it done now. And the Lord's saying, be still, and I want you to think about God's love. Think about His power. Know that God cares for every single thing that touches your life this morning. Just be still. I know y'all have heard me tell this many times, but I still remember, I learned my lesson, I think. But as a child, running in the sanctuary between services, I remember my father setting me down on the back pew, just sit down, just be still. Wasn't the place to be running, wasn't the place to be rambunctious. So just sit down and be still. You know the Lord wants us during the storms of life, and during the things that touch us, the Lord comes and just taps us on the shoulder and said, just be still a little bit. You're too anxious. You're trying to get it all figured out. Does anybody here have questions? Do you need the Lord to guide you? Do you need the Lord to give you some direction and some things? Don't be afraid of God's waiting room this morning. Because when He wants you to know the answer, He'll lead you in it. But in the meantime, Lord, help us more to be still and know that He is God. Waiting on God reminds us that He is the one that's in control and not us. The scripture over Psalms 37, verse 5, said, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Now rest. We are waiting. The things that we wait on, folks, are the things that trouble us. It's the things that we need help. It's things we need answers in. We need miracles. We need God to divinely intervene. But He's not working on our time schedule. But He said, trust in Me. Commit your way to Me. And lean on Me. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Alternatives. The wicked might be able to help me. Or I could turn to my own ways and maybe get something accomplished. David was encouraging us to wait patiently on God. Not to look to someone or something else. And then he said, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Do you know this morning that even in times of difficulty with people, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He said, because there are some, the scripture says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And people said, we need to right this wrong. And the Lord's saying, wait on me. Wait on my timing. Wait on my leadership. Wait on me. And you know, there are times that you will face, you young people are going to face times that maybe something happens and you say, that's not fair. Have you ever said that? Yeah. You say, that's not fair. That's not right. Maybe you're right or maybe you're not. But the reality is, folks, when we serve the Lord and we say, it's not right. It's not fair. And there's a tendency to maybe want to start to take things into our hands. There is a waiting room that says, Lord, I'm going to wait on you. I want to have, and while I'm waiting, Lord, would you work on my attitude? Would you work on my love? Would you work on my forgiveness? Would you work on my long suffering? And when it's time, folks, God is going to take care of the things that you face in life that aren't fair. God's going to take care of those things. And fixing and controlling situations and people. This was a quote I read from someone, thought it was pretty good, so I wrote it down. It said, fixing and controlling situations and people is like trying to expedite the rising of the sun. Did you get that? It doesn't work. Fixing and controlling situations and people. You think, who's going to get the sun to get up earlier than what it's set to? It doesn't work. Do you know, the sooner we can begin to trust in the Lord, when we really need the sun to rise a little earlier, Lord, and you're praying about situations and people, folks, some things are out of our control. So, Lord, I'm going to sit in the waiting room, because to everything there's a time and a season. To all things, there's a time to act. And maybe, I don't know that this is next week's message, but I could just as well this morning be preaching about get up and get busy. But this morning, we're talking about the waiting room. Why wait? Because we like to move, we like to act. And I want to emphasize again, waiting does not mean doing nothing, but it means waiting and looking to God with expectation until His time and His way. That's what that means. Now, waiting on God has a way of increasing our spiritual strength. I've maybe related this one before, but remember the Lord told the man to go out into his yard and there's a big boulder. Big old rock. And God said, I want you to go move that rock out of the way. So every day that man would go out there and he would push and push and push. He did it day after day and week after week and month after month until finally in exasperation it's like, Lord, you told me to do this. And it still hasn't moved. And the Lord said, look at your arms. Looked at his arms and I guess he was buff. Because the Lord was more interested in the waiting, in what it was working in his life than he wasn't getting that rock moved. Do you know that's what waiting many times does for us? We're looking at waiting, looking to this end result when God moves, when God changes, when really the scripture says that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, there are some qualifications there. You better be loving God. You better be called according to His purpose. But He said, I'm going to work this out for your good. It's not always in the result, folks. And I know it's hard for us to see that. We can sit in our pews this morning and say, yeah, that's true. But when I start thinking about things I'm waiting on the Lord, I was like, wait a minute. Lord, I really do need some results over here. And maybe the Lord's just wanting to strengthen me spiritually. So while you're waiting, I want you to know that God is using that time to work in your life in ways that nothing else could do. We need to wait on the mind of the Lord. We tend to make decisions, and it's not wrong. We do. We make decisions based upon the facts that we have, upon the knowledge that we have. And the Lord has given us that right and freedom to make decisions. We all have decisions to make in life. But there are decisions, folks, that we really need to have the mind of God. We really need to have the mind of the Lord, because some people make their decisions based, and I just want to encourage us this morning. If you have questions and you have decisions to make, there are some people that are making life-changing decisions based on what this person said. So then next week, if someone else says something different, what are you going to do then? Or what if next week that person comes along and says, oh, you know, I was thinking about it. I think you ought to do something different. What are we going to base our life-changing decisions upon? Folks, we need to learn to go into God's waiting room and say, Lord, I'm going to wait on you until you come through, that I'm not making a major change in my life based on just what I see or what I think, or even what someone else... Have you ever been pressured to do something pretty major, and you did it, and then looking back, you just shake your head at yourself thinking, why did I do that? I listened to him, and I was influenced by someone. The question is, did you wait on the Lord? Folks, the Lord has given us each other to support and edify one another, but there are things in life we need the mind of God. We need the mind of the Lord. And I want to encourage us this morning, let's be influenced in positive ways, in good ways. But if I can influence anybody this morning in anything, I want to encourage you to wait on the Lord. Get the mind of God. Sometimes we make decisions on emotions and feelings. But as you know, the reality is that what is a feeling or an emotion today might be very different than your emotions and feelings of tomorrow, right? If I'm not married and I see a young woman that looks nice and think, oh, that looks good. I feel like I'm in love. Let's go get married. And I get married and then I wake up the next morning and think, what did I do? I don't feel that way anymore. Did I get the mind of God? This is something I want to challenge you children. Get deep now. And you young people, on your career, on where you live, in marriage, get the mind of the Lord. Get the mind of the Lord before you allow your affections to start. Because once you allow your affections to start going out, I'll just say it starts really making it difficult to get the mind of the Lord. So wait on the Lord this morning. I've seen people get in places of, in their own minds, of desperation. If I don't do this, it's a lost opportunity. So I need to do it now while I have the opportunity and chance. Young people, you will find that when you stay in the will of God and wait for His mind and wait for His leadership, God has a plan for you that you don't have to seize what you see as an opportunity if God's not in it. Because God has something better. And I want to say, in marriage, it would be better, and for you boys and girls, it would be better to live life single than to marry someone that will drag you down with them. Wait on the Lord. Get His mind. And don't, when you start feeling desperate, we've all seen it, haven't we? People start feeling desperate. If you start feeling desperate, you can write this down this morning. It is not the time to be making a major life change decision. When you start feeling desperate, it's time to say, be still. And I want to come into God's waiting room. And Lord, I want you to work on me until I get the mind of God. Emotions and feelings come and go. And you know, emotional driven decisions, I'm not just talking about marriage now, things that affect all of our lives. Emotionally driven decisions are very often not sound decisions. We can have emotion, folks, and we do have emotion. There's nothing wrong with emotion. But emotion should not be the driver. We want God's mind. We want His will. In the work of the Lord, you remember the story about the servant that in the battle, they were going to take a message to King David on the outcome of the battle. And so the servant was the runner, the messenger. He got the message and he ran. And he was going to go to King David. And someone else was standing around. So I want to go too. I want to run too. It's like, oh, whatever, go. So he took off running and he was a better runner. And he got to King David. And the king started asking him questions about the battle. He was like, I don't know. What did he run for? He had zeal without knowledge. He was anxious. There are times people are so anxious to work for God, they don't wait on the Lord to get the message. So for all of us, this applies in every area of life. Wait on the Lord. And let's not just be so quick to run. You know, there are times that we can have in our idea, in our minds, Lord wants us to wait on the Lord when we open our mouth too, doesn't He? Because, you know, sometimes that's why I said, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So what is it that will keep us from getting in trouble with our mouth so often? It's sitting in the waiting room. And you know, isn't it true? Can we all acknowledge this one? That when we want to spout off and say something, that normally, if we'll get in the waiting room, we'll start, we can see where God's really wanting to work on us. There's power in waiting. There's power in waiting. And God's idea, and I want to just emphasize again, waiting on God allows Him to do His work in His time. Now, God's timing is best. Do we believe that? We believe it, but what about when I need it? Now. I read a little something that about God's idea of waiting. The Apostle Paul wrote that one day is as 1,000 years unto God. Talk about a waiting room now, where the person we're waiting to see, one day is like 1,000 years to God. There's an economist that read that from St. Paul, and he was really excited, the Apostle Peter, rather. He was really excited about that. So he had a conversation with God and said, so Lord, is it true that 1,000 years for us is just like a minute to you? And the Lord said, yes, it is. And the economist said, then is $1 million to you just like, to us, just like a penny it is to you? Just like a penny is to you? And the Lord said, yes. And then the economist said, Lord, would you give me one of those pennies? And the Lord said, yes. Just wait just a minute. Yeah. It's just like God's timing, though. He doesn't work like we want it right now, today, the amount that we think we need. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord and He shall save thee. There are so many illustrations in the Bible of people waiting on the Lord and the Lord coming through, isn't there? Noah built the ark year after year after year. He was a preacher of righteousness, and people said, it had never rained before. And here's this man talking about it raining, water coming out of the clouds, and people looked at him like he was crazy. But he had the mind of the Lord, and so he was building while he was waiting. The Lord brought deliverance through waiting, didn't he? The Lord brought deliverance to the disciples when Jesus told them, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Folks, we don't need to move out in life in our own strength this morning, but wait on the Lord. Tarry in Jerusalem. And while we are waiting, there's a scripture that tells us what we're supposed to be doing. Psalms 37, verse 34, wait on the Lord and keep His way. While you're waiting on the Lord, keep His way. Don't say, well, I don't quite understand this, and I've seen people do it. I don't quite know that God requires me to do this. And so while they're waiting on that answer, they go start living to their own devices. They go start living after the flesh. How can we expect to know the mind of the Lord? And we say, I just have some questions I don't understand. Are we doing what we do understand? Are we following the scripture that we do understand? Folks, in time, the Lord is going to show us these other things. He's going to lead us step by step, little by little, day by day. But the question is, are we doing what we know we're supposed to do while we're waiting on the Lord? So keep His way. Paul and Silas, when they were in prison. Do you know when we're waiting are not the times we're feeling the most peaceable? Is that right? Because we're wanting God to do something. I've got to have an answer. I need healing. I'm sick. I'm close to death. I need healing. I need deliverance. Lord, you see this injustice. You see what they did. You see what I'm facing here. It's those times that we're the most anxious that the Lord is saying, wait. And we find Paul and Silas praying and singing, giving God praise at midnight in prison. Folks, that's how God wants us to wait in His waiting room this morning. And there is a promise to all of those that wait. You know what that promise is? They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And it is in the waiting room that we start feeling the faintest. I need some attention. I need some help. The Lord promised that if we would wait on Him, that He would increase our strength. The Lord is good to them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. Lamentations 3:25. People wait in waiting rooms for a long time to get help. As I was meditating, the Lord brought to me, I was thinking about the waiting room. Lord brought to me what Daniel's waiting room was like. Do you remember Daniel's waiting room? There was no soft music playing. He was in the den with the lions. But the angel had shut their mouth. During your time of waiting, do not be afraid, my friend. Don't be afraid. God's taking care of you while you're waiting. He's going to provide for you. He's going to give you what you need. He's going to shut the lion's mouth. But are you just real peaceful sitting there and having these hungry lions right there? But they can't get you. It's a time to just be still. And when people come in and say, Daniel, the God that you serve is able to deliver you. Are you there? I'm still here. I'm still here. Folks, it is worth waiting this morning. The waiting room may not have that nice soft music playing. You may be in a place where there's lots of lions, but if you will be still this morning and listen to God, He's going to bring you out to a wealthy place. In closing this morning, there's one more scripture I'd like to close with, and it is one that the Lord gave me as a young person, and it has been a special scripture to me ever since. Psalms 27:13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Wait. I say, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Don't be faint this morning. Don't give up. Don't let down. But hold on and know that just as God was with Job in the waiting room of affliction, his own wife saying, curse God and die, he lost all his possessions. He waited on the Lord. And folks, he came out seven times richer than he was before he went into that affliction. So let's wait on the Lord.